I'm for Gene Shepherd, humorist, after-dinner speaker, and recipient of the Mark Twain Award for 1976. Here's Gene. Give 5 seconds of silence in true thankfulness for being us. Thank God I'm me. Now, come on, bow your head, for God's sakes. Do it right. Just think, whatever stars there are, that you are that magnificent creature that you are. That you are you. Thank God I'm Aki. That's... Boy, you could have been born Marty. You could have been born Clifford. You know what a slob he is. Just think how sad he feels when he sees you. No wonder he's always mad. Sure. Jealousy is such an ugly emotion. Terrible. That's another kind of groovy thing about being who you are. You don't have to have jealousy. It's other people that are jealous of you, right? That's right. It's a good feeling. Really a good feeling. Giving thanks for the things that are secretly accepted by us without even questioning. It's really important at times. It's important. It's like the time I'm walking along this honky-tonk joint down there. In fact, Keensburg, New Jersey, because you don't know where it was. It's a bunch of shacks built on a roller rink. And I'm walking around down there, see. And I'm in the Army. Yeah. You know, when you're in the Army, you're real loose. That's one great thing about being in any of the armed services. You're loose, man. I mean, you're loose as a goose, really. And there's reasons. Because, you first of all, you got this suit on. And it gives you sort of an anonymity, you know. And nobody knows who you are, see. So you walk around. And you're expected to be certain. You know, you expect to be on a make, you know. And so, okay, you name it a game, I'll do it then. The reason that a lot of people look back on those days when they were, like, say, 3 years in the Navy or 2 years in the Army or something is because it's one of the few times in your life. In fact, in many cases, the only time in a lot of people's lives when they had absolutely no strings whatsoever of any type, including even a name. You know, your name can hold you down in certain towns. I mean, if your old man runs the hardware store, and you're a big deal in town, that tends to inhibit a lot of things. On the other hand, if your old man is a notorious drunk and bum in town, that tends to inhibit a lot of other things. So if you're just an anonymous type walking around with a brown suit, and your only designation is whatever them little stripes are on your sleeve, like they call, hey, Corporal, you know, that's not saying, hey, Charlie Murgatroyd. It's a, hey, Corporal. There's a lot of other corporals around here, see? So I'm walking along the boardwalk in Keensburg, New Jersey, looking at the scene. And there was a machine there. And this machine said, the Lord's Prayer will be printed on a penny. You ever seen those things? If you put the penny in the machine, it will make it into the Lord's Prayer. Did you see that? You've never seen that? Well, I'm glad that you haven't, because... It gives me a sense of having superior knowledge. I'm delighted that you've never seen one of those machines certain of you have seen it, but I'm one of the few who has. You put a penny in this machine, And, of course, you have to pay extra. What you do is you put in a quarter, and then you put the penny in, and then out comes the penny. And the penny is made flat. It sort of grinds it down, and imprinted on it is the Lord's Prayer, the Gettysburg Address is something really uplifting like that. Well, I'm walking along that boardwalk, seeing him with Gasser, and he's also in the Army, you know. At that point, I must admit that I did exaggerate. We were not corporals. As a matter of fact, we were PFCs. We were experienced PFCs, however. There's a big difference, between PFCs and PFCs. Are you aware that the Army has a term? It refers to civilians as PFCs. Are you aware of that? That when two guys are sitting in the barracks and one guy refers to another guy, a person as a PFC, he's rarely talking about another soldier. He's talking about a civilian. And I will not tell you what the PFC stands for, however, in that case. It has a certain... there are women, children listening and people who might misinterpret this. But there are certain phrases that are very endemic to certain professions. I'm walking down the boardwalk there with Gasser, and I see this machine thing. The one thing you got in the Army, or the Navy, or the Marines, since you don't have any ties, that whatever money you have in your pocket can be instantly spent on any cockamamie thing you see. You do not worry about the future. There is no such thing as worrying about the future when you're in. That's one of the great things about also being in one of these services, is that you're excused from worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. A lot of rottenness. So, you're never under any illusion that tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and Daryl Zanuck is going to call. No way. You're going to wake up at 5:15 and start the same old junk all over again. So, you don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to come. That's it. So, we're walking along, and I had about $4 or $5 in my pocket, which meant that I was really holding. Gasser had maybe 2.5. You can imagine how low downtrodden we were. We were spending a weekend at Keensburg. Now, that is not highly, really, even in the Army, that's not hardly eaten up at the top end of the hog. Because you realize that the real guys, the guys who were really holding, were in New York. I mean, doing it. Did you ever spend an entire weekend in New York on less than $1.50? I have. And I mean, do it really good. I really have. I often wonder about some of those people I've met in those brief moments. I wonder if any of them ever listen or anything. It just occurs to me. But one night in New York, fantastic scene happened. I was in the Army, and I was all alone. I was by myself this time, and I went down to some USO here in the 40s someplace, right off of 6th Avenue. There's a USO over there. I'll go to that USO and see. Yeah, it's still there, isn't it? Yeah. So I go to the USO. And I walk in a USO there. I had no money at all. None at all. All I had was enough money to buy myself a bus ticket to the camp and back. I had the bus ticket, the return ticket in my pocket. See, that's it, man. I had about $1 in my pocket. So that's why I went to the USO, for starters. So I go over to the USO, and they were handing out the tuna salad sandwiches over there and, all this great stuff. And I walk in, and I walk up to this woman behind the desk there, I said, I'm in town. She says, yes, soldier, is there anything we can do for you? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for a place to sleep. And so she immediately gives me this list of, very expensive joints to sleep. And I says, no, I don't have any money. And, oh, well, in that case, all right. She said, wait a minute, I'll make a few phone calls. So she goes down. She goes downstairs and makes a few, comes back up, and she says, here's a place you can sleep. And so I said, what is it? She says, well, it's over there on 57th Street, and it's this hotel. I said, you mean they're going to let me sleep in a hotel free? She says, well, yes, but not exactly. So I go trotting down there with my DOP kit. I got this bag, full of shaving stuff, and I go trotting down to 57th Street. It was over by 8th or 9th Avenue there. And I didn't know anything about New York except that, I knew where 57th Street was. So I turned left and I went over to 57th Street. And I walked all the way up there. See, I walked up Broadway to 57th and turned left, right? And here was this hotel, the Henry Hudson Hotel, right? And so I go up to the guy at the desk, and I got my DOP kit, and I said, I was just sent over here by the USO. Oh, yeah, okay. So he turns, and he's behind the desk, and he hollers to somebody else. He says, here's another one, Harley. You know, and at that point, the guy comes running out. Harley comes running out from behind the desk. He says, come on, soldier. So they take me behind and down. I go down some kind of a passageway. Yeah, they didn't take me up in the elevator and, you know, show me to room 907 or something. They take me down the passageway, and I had this feeling all of a sudden that I'm behind the scene. You know, you see mops and brooms and all kinds of towels and stuff and, you know, just junk down there. So we go down this long passageway. We turn left and turn right, and the next thing you know, here I am in the air. They had a gym down there and a swimming pool down in the basement of the Henry Hudson, see? And I said, I walk in. He says, hey, Fred, here's another one. And so here's another guy down in here, and he's got about 400 lockers down there. Apparently people come and swim down there in these lockers. He hands me a towel, and he gives me a towel. He gives me a bar of soap, and he says, okay. He says, go now pick yourself a place. And they had down in the swimming pool, they had cots in the pool. The whole pool was filled with cots. There were about 1,200 GIs down there, see? So I climbed down the ladder, see? I throw my towel down on a bunk there, and I says, yeah, that's not bad, you know? So, did you know that the guys swim, would sleep in a swimming pool there? So I packed it in there, and I put all my stuff down there, and I go back up the ladder now. See, I figure, well, now I've got a place to sleep. That's the first thing you got to do, see, when you're making a scene in the town. You know, you get it. Once you get a place to sleep after that, man, you got it made. See, so I go back up the ladder, and I go outside, and I go down the street, and I turn right on Broadway. Now, I'm back on Broadway, right? And, man, the Great White Way, you know, I got about a buck and a half in a pocket, and I'm ready for anything, see? So I'm walking along down Broadway, and there's all kinds of action going on all around me, you know, the whole scene. And most of it takes money, see, so I I was playing it real cool. So there was another canteen down there. It was another USO, see, so I go into this USO, and I walk in. Now I got a place to sleep, see, so again, there's a lady at the desk, and I have a bunch of GIs standing around. I walk up to this lady, and I said, I'm just in town. And she says, oh, fine. She said, fine. Do you want a place to sleep? I says, no, I got a place to sleep. It's okay. She says, well, what can I do for you then? And I said, well, I'm looking for, I'd like to get something to eat. And I'm really not, I'm not ready for the donuts and the tuna salad scene here. But, fine. She said, I'll fix that up. So she goes down again and makes a call. She comes back up and she says, here's an address. And I take this thing and I said, what is this? You know, it's just a number. It's an address, a street, see. I figured she's going to send me to some restaurant, you know, where they give free meals to GIs and all that, see? So I look at the thing, and I said, what is this? Excuse me. She says, oh, those are some very nice people. They'll give you a very fine meal there, see? So I said, okay, see? All right. So I take this address. And I said, how do you get there? She says, well, you go down the street, and there's a subway down there. See, and you go down the subway, and it's the 7th Avenue subway, right? She says, now you take that one that goes right up the west side. See, I didn't know anything about IRTs, BMTs, all that stuff. See, I just knew the subway. So, I didn't know what the numbers are. And she says, you take the one on the corner there, and she says, you take the one marked uptown. Get on the side of the thing marked uptown. Now, then you take the first train comes down marked local. Make sure where it says local. I said, yes. She says, then you get in this train, the first train that comes marked local. Get in and get off at 96th Street. At 96? That sounded like, you know, real fantastic distance to me. Here I am. I'm down around 40-something, see? But I didn't know, you know, that's not really not much on the subway, see? So I take my slip of paper and I go down to the subway there. I had my buck, see? I had enough to buy a subway token. So I get this subway token. I wait for the subway. And there are a lot of people standing around. and some GIs are hanging down around there, and you know the whole scene. See, so along comes this train, it's marked local, so I get in, and for the first time in my life, I was actually taking a subway in anger. By that I mean I had a place to go. You know, I'm using the term in its philosophical sense. You heard the term a shot fired in anger, meaning a real shot, as opposed to a guy hitting milk cans. Well, I was taking a subway with an actual goal in mind. See, I was like a New Yorker. See, so I get in the subway, and I'm hanging on the thing there. There's about 12 million people in there, and we go right on uptown. See, and I'm looking out, and I see the numbers going by, and the train's and I'm hanging on a strap there. Well, I just have to tell you right here now, before I knew where the hell I was at 125th Street. Well, at that point, I go struggling out. See, I knew I missed it. So I go out, now all the way up on the other end of the park or someplace. See, so I get back on the next subway coming down. So I ride all the way down. Finally, I get to 96th Street. By this time, I'm all excited, see, because I'm thinking, you know, what the hell is this? I figured it was a Chinese restaurant or something up there. So I get out of the subway, and this place that I was to go was on 95th Street off of Riverside Drive. Every time I go in that neighborhood now, I get a funny, curious feeling, see? Yeah. So I walk down the street, 95th Street, see, and it's kind of dark, and there's all these big buildings down there. Now, this is the kind of stuff that happens to you when you're in... The reason I'm telling you this story is this is the kind of thing that happens to you when you're in any of the armed forces. Now, no way when you're a civilian. I have never known anybody in a civilian life capacity, ever, to be just given a slip that says, go to this number and they will give you a meal. Has that ever happened to you as a civilian, an unknown place? That's right, but that's the kind of stuff that happens to you when you're in the Army or the Navy or the Marines. And it gives you a curious sense of like a constant revolving, totally inexplicable adventure, constantly involving you, always unfolding. You never know where it's going to be, where it's going to end, what's going to be like. So I walk down the street with this slip. See, now, this fantastic big apartments around it. See, and I finally realized that this address is an apartment house. The woman who gave it to me didn't know what it was, just a number. So here it was. Tremendous apartment house, about 20 stories. You've seen those big buildings down there. It's tremendous. So I go into the lobby, and there's this old guy sitting down there. And he's got one of these hats on, you know, like a chauffeur hat or something. See, and he says, hey, wait a minute, buddy, where are you going there? I says, I'm going to apartment 1048. Yeah? How come you're going there? I said, well, I was sent there. I'm going to go up there for dinner. Well, wait a minute, buddy. Don't go up yet. Just a minute now. So he turns around and he takes a phone. You ever had him do that to you? And he calls somebody mysterious. Apparently he calls the apartment. See? He's on the phone. He says, hey, there's a guy down there that sold you. Yeah, okay. He says, yeah, well, okay. And he hangs up. He looks at me so very, very skeptically. He says, well, okay. All right, so the elevator's over there. He says, when you get out of the elevator, turn left. It's the three apartment doors down from the elevator on the left. So I go down and press the button. Up I go. And it was the typical West Side apartment elevator. You know, creeps up and sort of painted this goat vomit green inside, you know. And I could smell like 7 million generations of ancient fermented cabbage. And the higher up you go, it's just like the accumulated aromas in this apartment throughout the generation of New Yorkers, generation after generation, had risen like gas to the top of the apartment. The higher up I get, the more clearly the smell of stuffed cabbage became evident. And I get up to the 10th floor, and there it is. And it stopped. One of these apartment, you know, one of these elevators, you know, that has this folding door, you know, the kind you got to pull back. If you're not careful, you get your tie caught in it, you know. So I pull this thing back. I push the door open. And now I'm out in the hallway of this place. And by this time, I'm really getting excited. See? It's really fantastic. So I walk down this dark corridor. It's almost black. And here is apartment. Well, I won't even tell you the number because you probably go there. So I knock on the door, see? And I hear a little scurrying around inside. A little scurrying, see? I knock again. It's a little scurrying, see? And the door opens. I see this eye peeking out. Yes? It's why I'm from the USO. And she says, who? I said, I'm from the USO. She says, we don't want any. I said, well, I'm not giving you anything. I'm sent down here by the USO. I'm a soldier. She says, oh, I thought you were the police or something. I had this hat, see? And the door opens up, and I go into this apartment. To this day, I have, I've never forgotten this apartment. Any time I go in this neighborhood now or go through that area, I think on this scene, everything is lit with a soft blue light. Blue. Nothing else in the apartment. It's just blue. No furniture in the apartment. No furniture. I follow this figure through the, they had a little hallway. It was dark. I couldn't see a damn thing. And I see this figure ahead of me, and I follow the figure. The figure turns around, and I see it's a girl. And she's wearing a bathrobe. And you get this sense about her that she's been in a bathrobe for probably 8 to 9 years. You know the kind of feeling that there's a certain kind of, there's some people who just never get up. And there are some people who just never, you know, it's just like everything's, it's just like sort of suspended. And I said, excuse me. I said, I'm here for, I'm supposed to come up here and have a meal or something. She said, well, where'd you come from? I said, well, the USO sent me. She said, the USO? What's the USO? I said, well, you know, it's the USO, you know? You can't say, well, it's the United Service Organization, you know? It's the USO, and I'm a soldier, and they sent me up here to have a meal. And she says, what do you want? I said, well, I was sent up here to have a meal. She says, meal? She had that look about her of a person who either alternates between bad scotch and something far more exotic, because I could smell it. It was in the air. It was heavy, thick. There was a smoke, a thick, you know the aroma, you know what I'm talking about? Thick and rich. And there was no furniture at all. And I saw over in the corner, there was a mattress. That's all. Apparently, this is the way this girl lived. And she said, you want a meal? Totally out of it. I said, well, that's what I came up for. I said, look, don't worry about it. You know, what the hell? I said, you know, obviously. And I said, must be the wrong place. And I take my paper, and I'm looking at it in the blue light. No, it is her address. Absolutely her address. And not only that, you know, it's typed out. I mean, it's obviously not a mistake. See, somebody is... And I said, you know, I got your address at the USO. And she said, my address? I said, yes, your address. She said, can I see that? I said, sure. And she looks at it, and I could see she was having trouble focusing. Looks down at it. I said, it's your address. She said, oh. I said, look, I'm going out for something to eat. I said, you want to go out for a hot dog or something? She said, okay. And so she goes into the next room and comes back out, and she's put on a pair of blue jeans, and she had a sort of a scruffy-looking gray sweater. It's all she had on, you know. And she was wearing these bedroom slippers. Long, blonde, sort of dirty hair. And she put on a pair of sunglasses, real sad-looking chick. So we went into the elevator, and down the elevator we came. And this guy looks up, and we walk out, you know. This is the first time he's actually seen her. He looks, He looks at me. We go out of the streets, 96th Street. We go up to 96th, and there's a lot of places up there. I ain't got no money. You know, I got about 85 cents. And I said, you know, I don't have any money, man. I'm really busted. She said, it's okay. She said, I don't want to eat. I said, well, look, you got to have something to eat now. Because, you know, she looked like she hadn't eaten for a month. So we walked down the street, and we came to a joint down there, just a hot dog joint down at Broadway 96, one of these places where they sell egg creams and joint, you know, that kind of joint. See, so I go up to the counter there. One of these places you buy stuff from the street. You know, you've seen these joints. So I go up there, and I said, give me two hot dogs with the works, man. So he says, I'll be a half a buck. So I give him the half a buck, and I get the two hot dogs. And I give her the hot dogs, and she starts to nibble on this hot dog. And so I eat the hot dog. I haven't eaten now, you know, since like in the morning. She says, bam, bam, down goes the hot dog. And she says, thanks. I said, you're going to be all right now? Yes, I'll be all right. And she drifts off down the street into the darkness. So I go down into the subway, buy myself a subway token, and I go rattling back to the USO. Another fantastic service adventure. I don't know why I'm telling you this story. This is the kind of slice of life. Now, where I got this idea for telling the story tonight, if you're curious, about 3 hours ago, I see a couple of GIs walking along on 6th Avenue, and they each had one stripe on their sleeve, and they had the hungry look in the eye of two guys who were waiting for it to happen. Now, what is it? That's the question. It. In fact, I think most of us spend all of our lives waiting for it to happen. It. That great IT in the sky that keeps shifting and changing. The colors are different every time we look at it. Sometimes it's in focus, sometimes it's out of focus. Sometimes it isn't even there. Those are real bad days. When that eternal it isn't hanging over you. When you say to yourself, it ain't going to happen. You say, oh no, that's ridiculous. Of course it'll happen. Of course. It's got to happen. It. Those two GIs went heading up towards 42nd Street. You know, I almost said, hey, wait a minute, guys. I've been that route. Look out now. Look out now. Oh, yes. You'll get plucked cleaner than a Thanksgiving turkey. Shucked like an ear of corn. Stripped down to the basic core. And spewed out of the vast machine of chicanery. Chewed up like a peanut down at the Rialto. Gone. Crunched. Disappeared and gone. It. So you see, it's not as bad as it seems. You really are fantastically lucky to be that, to be who you are. Be so sensitive, so creative, person of total involvement. Yes. Ah, how lucky. And so tonight, this little moment out of our lives, this little 45-minute slice, has been a silent approval of the fact that we are what we are. Thank God we're lucky. Just think, you could have been born one of the slobs. Right? That's right. Forever hurtling down the Jersey Turnpike of life. Eternally searching out the next Howard Johnson. That's right. Yearning eternally for another six-pack. Yes. Yes, life is rich. down at the old McDonald's. Rich and bountiful. So, that's the way it goes sometimes. Maybe it will happen.
To Gene Shepherd, humorist, author, and recipient of the Mark Twain Award for 1976.